Docu serial.
When meeting farmers or activists, they frequently mention the names of some politicians who propose radical solutions to the current situation in South Africa. They blame these politicians for polarizing society. According to some of their statements, comments of these politicians may even be behind the hate crimes. One of these names frequently mentioned is Andile Mkitama, the head of the Black First Land First political movement that identifies itself as a black radical organization that stands strongly against whites. I asked the leader of the organization for a meeting. I must arrive at a location near the airport specified by him, a bar with loud music near the city exit. I wait for a half an hour. He is late. When he finally arrives, he orders a cappuccino from the waitress and immediately adds that it will be paid for by this white man, me.
What does mean the radical? How you call yourself the radical organization? What does it mean, radical?
We draw the line very sharply, and we don't compromise. We don't accept white people's right to be in this country as citizens. We don't accept white people's ownership of this land as legitimate. We don't accept even this government and this constitution of Nelson Mandela as legitimate. We don't. Yeah, so you can say we're a fringe group. We're like a small group.
I mean, somebody could think that you are a racist group if you say we don't want white people to be citizens in our country, even though they live here for centuries, their families. Isn't white it racist?
People? No. In fact, I wrote the whole essay, Blacks Can't Be Racist. Blacks are victims of racism. When I fight back against racism, can be racist.
But if you fight it with another racism,
how is it?
If you say really kind of, it seems to me, racist thing about white people, then
who took our land? White people. Have they returned it?
But it's not about this. I mean, all the people should have same kind of,
all the people, of course, but
the same kind of measurements. So
land was stolen from us by white people. I'm a tenant in this country. I'm not a citizen. White people will stay here or will live under the determination of the black majority. They still have the land, the property, and economic power. So until we have justice on those issues, I refuse to accept your status as a citizen. The land belongs to the people, and everyone who needs land must get land. For us, it becomes a question of land becomes a common property. And, you know, up to now, for instance, we never said, oh, white people should not get land. We never said that. But it's not our job to assure them, because they are thieves who are holding onto a property that doesn't belong to them, and they will not give it voluntarily. If they were, they would have given.
Many of them bought the land.
From whom? From other thieves. You bought stolen property. What happens when you steal the stolen property? Even if you didn't know, you participated in an illegal activity. You bought stolen property. You and the original thief are equally guilty.
But we're saying that.
Who's saying that? Mm-hmm. Us, black people, the original owners of this land. We are saying that. There is two moralities. There's two logics. There's the logic of the land thief and the logic of the native persons. So you choose what you want to listen to.
But shouldn't there be
any I am the people.
Yes,
but I speak for the people.
Despite both farmers and activists quite frequently mentioning his statements to illustrate the unfortunate developments in the country, his political movement has nearly no support by general public. Along with the parliamentary party Economic Freedom Fighters, his movement also loudly promotes the expropriation of land owned by whites without any compensation. And the governing African National Congress is considering the expropriation. Recently, the country led heated debates regarding a land reform that the government has tried to implement ever since the fall of apartheid. At that time, 87% of land was in the hands of a white minority that only formed about 10% of the population. In 1913, long before the official formation of apartheid, a law was enacted preventing the non-white population from owning land. I ask law professor Elmine Duplessis why the issue of land reform is so touchy, despite the fact that less than 10% of South Africans consider it a priority. She personally actively contributes to efforts to change the constitution, which should speed up the reform.
I think apartheid was a very effective social engineering. It really separated people. So when you speak to people about land reform, a lot of white people don't know what happened during apartheid. I had students in fourth year, they were like 22-year-old students, who did not know about the forced removals when I started teaching them. And I mean, if you don't know about these things that happened in our history, of course a lot of these things will not make sense. So I think the fact that on a social level, we are not really that integrated in South Africa, we don't listen, we don't hear the stories, and these things don't make sense. So when somebody then wants to make that out to be a racist thing, it's easy for you to believe because you don't understand, you know, the motive. I think if we as South Africans will accept that most people have good motives rather than bad motives, this conversation will also be easier. I think on the other hand, you know, if you grew up black and poor in South Africa and you have this image of this wealth and white people, and people tell you, well, you know, they just got everything for free. I mean, of course, there's a lot of privilege in there, but it's people also work hard. It's not that these two things can exist simultaneously. I think it's easy then to go into that narrative.
I am interested in the point of view of the farmers. Similarly to Farmer Charlotte, I try to meet with farmers outside the structure of activist organizations. So I book two nights of accommodation over Airbnb at the farm of young farmer Josef, near Philipstown in Northern Cape. As we sit in the evening, having barbecue, we discuss the situation in the country. I want to know where the local farmers face attacks.
In the greater South Africa area, definitely. But where I am, not really. We aren't that close to all the political agendas and the hate crimes and the violence, or close to the big cities where we have a very peaceful and togetherness. That's not the correct word, but we have a family environment here between employers and employees. We watch over each other, take care of each other, because we are so far and excluded from everything. We are all we have for each other on this farm. So here where I am, I can't say that we have criminality on the farm, no.
Josef's father Andres, who recently handed the farm over to his son, enjoys sitting on the porch of the main house with a glass of brandy in the evenings. So I ask him about the farm's history.
The original owners of this farm were two sisters. They've got the farm from, they call it the Crown of England, because the Cape Province belonged to England. And it was two sisters, and the one married a Fourier and the other one the Frenchman, that was my predecessors, and the other one married a Van Amava. And the two sisters settled here, and they sort of started the farm out of nothing. It was, they were at a certain stage, they were the sort of frontier farms in the Cape Province, yeah.
We mainly farm with sheep, wool sheep called Merino, which we export the wool to manufacturers around the world. And then we have a meat value as well towards the sheep. It's a constant job. It's a 24/7 job. Because you're working with livestock, anything can happen. They die, they get sick. They need feed, they need water constantly, like people. We So it is a 24/7 job, but if you are able to streamline it and you have people you can trust, it's not that bad.
Are you afraid sometimes? I mean, do you feel concerned about the safety?
When you hear about what's going on in the rest of the country, you are concerned. We installed cameras on the roads that are 24-hour monitored for safety, for precaution measure. So, but it helps you sleep at night. It helps you be safe. It makes you feel safer to know that people are. If someone is in your area that doesn't belong here, or but on the most fact, I don't feel threatened at this point. No.
Josef's mother, Kai, is a professional artist. She has lived at the farm for several decades since she got married. I ask her whether the attacks faced by some farmers are caused by hate.
Yes, I think there is an element of hate crime. There's always been all over the world. But I think in South Africa, it's an absolute minority that hates. It really is. I think so. And they get all the murders done and they get all the opportunities to say stuff. For instance, the EFF, they say things and I think they try to speak for all blacks, but I don't think all blacks feel like they feel. There's minorities that create great havoc and great destruction, and I think that's part of their plan. They want to create more hate. The government's agenda is to repossess land, especially from farmers, which is unfortunately most often white, but they have no intention of giving it to black people, which is my concern. No farmer, whether he's white, black, or anything, can really farm successfully without having ownership of his land, because he has to borrow or lend against the value of his property. Farming is a big project. It's got lots of capital that's involved. He's got to lend some money to put the seed into the ground. But he can't do that if the land doesn't belong to him, because most farmers who start off poorly. So the government has got a funny agenda there. They want the land to have the government own it. They've got no plan to have it really farmed. They put people there with no experience, with no tools, no crops, and tell them, we want your vote. Look at us. We gave you land. We gave you land. Poverty's over. But it doesn't work that way.
Many white South Africans are seriously concerned about the current government's plans regarding the change of the constitution. According to Professor Elmin de Plessis, why is this amendment so important?
So in South Africa, we have obviously a clause in the constitution that says that the state may not arbitrarily interfere with property rights. And if they do want to expropriate your property, it must be done in terms of a law that applies generally and that compensation must be paid. So that's the first part of our so-called property clause. The second part of our property clause also says that the state must ensure that people have equal access to resources, and that include land. So there are land reform provisions as well in our constitution that says people have a right to land reform. And these two rights clash, right? In order for people to have access to land, it might be that somebody's land might have to be taken in terms of these land reform processes.
But the conditions under which the land could be expropriated without compensation are not clear. The government doesn't communicate its intents very clearly. Another reason for most farmers to feel very insecure, including Josef's father, Andres.
There's no argument in taking me off the farm. I help my son wherever he needs my help. I've done my 30 years, And the only sin we are doing is providing food, if that's a sin. So whoever thinks it's a sin and they want to move me off my farm, they're not going to do it. I'm not just going to pack up and leave. Because on the one hand, I'm a white male South African. There's no job for me. There's no job for my son. If they take guys like him, there are a few thousand of them in South Africa. If you take their farms away, you can just as well kill them. Because there's nowhere to go. They can't go to Europe. They can't go anywhere. They don't have money. They're definitely not going to get a job. I just think that the politicians must think before they do. The ANC in the upper ranks with enough knowledge to know that this is a no-go. Our finances, our economy is rock bottom. And to expropriate land without compensation... yeah.
Suicide.
It's ridiculous. Nothing is going to... We're just bankrupt. If I have to leave the farm, I leave it in a coffin. But otherwise, no. I'm not going to leave the farm.
TAUSA, the farmers' association that has functioned since 1897, opposes the current version of the land reform. Until recently, the association only accepted white farmers, but now it also has a few black members. I traveled to its headquarters in Pretoria for a meeting with Benny van Sel, a member of the association leadership. Where does he specifically see the danger?
If you talk to the farmers, the policy uncertainty and the land grabs and the expropriation without compensation that this government want to do now, that is the type of thing that make the farmers more uncertain for their future. They invest all their money in their farm. Every year they do that, and now there's this threat, I'm going to take it away without paying for you. What are that persons are going to do now? What future do they have for them and their children? And some of them already 8 generations on that farm. They do not stole that land. They have a title deed that this government gave them. Now the government said you stole it. It doesn't make sense. That is the type of things that make a farmer more uncertain.
Yet, some white farmers have no problem with redistribution of land. To the contrary. Among those is Joseph's mother, Kai.
If it was done different way, you know, do you see some point in that?
Definitely. If they were going to distribute the land, not take the land for the government, if they were going to give ownership to people who does not have land, even if they give ownership to every person in the township who lives on a piece of land where they squat, they're going to give, you know, dignity to each and every person. There is something in owning the little spot where you live, legally owning it. Nobody can take it away from you. But as it stands now, they can be evicted, they've got nothing, they're relying on the mercy of the government. And that's what the government wants. But real distribution is a very good idea. And many,
even though it can affect you or other farmers?
Yes, even though it can affect me.
Professor Elmine du Plessis, who is actively involved in efforts to change the constitution, doesn't see the risk of confiscating farms.
We've got really good legislative instruments to do this, but due to various reasons, we have institutional collapse, the government didn't do what they were supposed to do, land reform is not progressing as it should. So we sit now in this time where we haven't done what we could have done in 25 years, and now this issue becomes a political hot issue. The conversation that we are having around the amendment of the constitution is not to provide for expropriation without any compensation, a large-scale expropriation, the taking of white farms without compensation. It's a question of what does our constitution allow? And our constitution allows that if all these factors are factored in a specific case, if all these rights are balanced, there might be certain instances, very limited amount of instances, where property can be expropriated at a cost of 0 rand. And if you look at the expropriation bill that we are also trying to put through Parliament, it identifies these types of properties that are envisioned to be at zero rand compensation. And that would be land that's not being used by anybody. It's land that's abandoned. I don't foresee, if we continue on the path that we are now, that it will lead to large-scale confiscation of land. But of course, if the left and the right are going to continue to use this conversation for their own purposes, it might come to such a stage within the next 10 or so years where the relations are so dire that there can be problems. But I also don't think that it will then happen within the framework of the law.
But Benny van Zyl from the Tausa Farmers Association doesn't share her optimism. He's concerned that extreme left parties could abuse the change of constitution in the future and approach the confiscation across the board.
I have to think about the future. What will be the implications be? If the ANC are going to do it or not, it's not the issue. Say, for an example, the EFF in 10 years' time will be the ruling party. What will they do of that? The principle of private ownership is in this constitution stipulated. And if we put something in that the government, doesn't matter what the circumstances is, the principle is broken.
Because the discussions keep revolving around why farmers, I set out to see a meeting of black farmers from the SFA organization. Gideon Morule, their chairman, lives near the border with Botswana, near the city of Mahikeng. During apartheid, this area was one of the 10 Bantustans, territories the government set aside for the black population. Many were forcefully moved there from areas assigned to whites due to their ethnicity. These reservations, in which black people had to live, only covered 13% of the South African land, and local administrations had, to a degree, autonomy. This Bantustan was called Boputatswana. Gideon and a few dozen other black farmers got land from local administration, leased for 7 years in 1980s, with promise that if they prove effective, they will be able to purchase it. The farmers tried to purchase the land, and in 1992, the administration approved it. However, apartheid fell during the process of transferring the land into private hands, and with it, Bantustans. Ever since, the local farmers have tried to regain their right to purchase the land. Nearly 30 years now. In vain. After the meeting is over, we get in a car with Gideon and drive to his farm.
Yeah, this is my place.
It's a big place. I mean, I expected something smaller. It looks big.
It's 513 hectares, it's big. This house, I built it myself. I didn't find it. All these buildings are mine, my own hands.
And for how long have you stayed here in the farm?
40 years, 40 years.
And you still fear that you can lose it?
I still fear. I'm paralyzed because I don't have a title to this land, so I don't have a collateral to the bank to borrow money. Every improvement that you do in the Bob days, if you go away, you will be compensated for this. Now the new government does not recognize that this is practical expropriation without compensation.
There is a risk that you will be sent away from here?
Yes, I can. I can be chucked away anytime. I'll go away kicking and shouting and so on. And if they kick me out of I'll demolish this house. I'll just demolish it.
But do you think they would take it to a black farmer? Because they say they do this expropriation for taking the land from the whites and give it to the blacks.
There's a lot of corruption happening. why would they not sell the farm to us? Let's see if my daughter is here and we can pretend. Where is your little visitors?
Aren't you afraid on the farm alone?
No.
Because many farmers, they are afraid that they are going to be robbed or attacked.
I give everything to God. I'm Christian like that. And if anybody comes here and say, they can take whatever they want, take life, take whatever, but I don't have fear. I fear no evil. I fear nothing. And for the fact that nothing has happened since, and for a female to be on the farm alone, I know they should be knowing around here that I stay alone in most cases. But I have no fear. I have no fear.
Why do you think that people attack farms?
It's about liquidity. People want to have cash. They want to have money in their hands. So the minute that you start handling a lot of cash, money in your hands, that's where they start to attack. It's not like they do that because they are hungry, they want to eat. If it was like that, you would say, no, I'll open my house, you can go get your vegetables, or you can go... No. Our people are a bit lazy, I can say that. They don't want to work. They want everything for free since the government new dispensation came. So they were promised this and this and this. And when the promise does not come, they go to those who are working for themselves to say that, but, you know, they feel entitled.
And do you think there is attacks towards white farmers are racially motivated?
It's not racial, it's about money. It's about, we are hungry, they want money. It's about, what can I get from him? What is it that he has that I'm going to get? And that is why, with us blacks, there is less attacks, because they know we have nothing. What are they going to get from us? Those ones are, they're forever there, and they're well built.
What does Gideon, as a black farmer, think of the land reform?
The last statistics was that blacks has got 13% of the land, and 87% of the land belongs to whites. And blacks are 80% of the population, whites are only 20%. So it's very unfair. There must be equity. But I say it is useless for blacks to take land when lots of land belonging to blacks is lying fallow, like it is, to take the land and don't produce the land and don't produce on that land, then there's going to be hunger and so on and so on. Some blacks like me wants to see this expropriation without compensation to the whites. I'm not for that. There's inequality, but I would say there must be other means. If they take a white man's farm, they must compensate him. It's not fair, according to me.